Education Research. This is episode 56 and focuses on Paul Wright and Suzanne Burton's paper, Implementation and Outcomes of a Responsibility-Based Physical Activity Program Integrated into an Intact High School Physical Education Class. This is an audio version of the PEPRN blog that can be found at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Book 4, The Curriculum and the Subject Matter of Physical Education. Change as a Belt and Braces Endeavour. The previous blog highlighted how we make inferences about particular situations. Indeed, it suggested, and in specific reference to gender, culture and race, that we make assumptions about girls in PE that may not be relevant to all girls. The blog suggested that we take a one-size-fits-all approach and allowed our practices to reflect the dominant and overarching assumptions that exist about girls in PE. This week's blog looks at change, not as a whim, but as a journey. It argues that we, as human beings, give up on ideas too quickly, perhaps because we head towards change without realizing the effort it will take to begin it, let alone sustain it. The blog, the last using papers from this four-volume book, argues that change is difficult, and without recognition of this, it's unsurprising that we often fail to move forwards and instead stay just where we have always been. My take-home message: the implications of the research on practice. If there is one thing that I've learned in the last decade or more, it is that change takes time. Another thing I've learned is that impatience costs little, at least in the short term. We see examples of this every day, and yet we seem surprised that the world seems to stay the same. Take New Year's resolutions as an example. We sit there as one year draws to a conclusion and another waits to start, and we make decisions about our future. I've put on a few pounds and therefore, come the new year, I'll join the gym and watch what I eat and I'll soon shed the weight. Or I'll give up chocolate for a year, or alcohol, or fill in your own gap. The truth is, most New Year's resolutions are resolved or dissolved by February, or much sooner in most cases, and yet year on year we make them, or similar ones, again. The same comes with professional change, in our case as practitioners, pedagogical change. We try new things, we tinker around the edges, we might even write a new scheme of work, but does anything actually change? Sometimes we experience difficulties, and despite our perseverance and resilience, we concede defeat. It's just too much effort. The kids were disruptive, and it was easier to impose some familiar standards and bring them back in line. Our best intentions were good, but the plan didn't survive the tough realities of life in my classrooms. Alternatively, we see positive change occur in the first instance, and we persevere. But over time, or by force of habit or busyness, we revert to form. This is one reason that professional development programs have less impact on our teaching than we would like. Good ideas don't thrive in the realities of schools, not without a lot of special care and attention. Vicky Goodyear termed this the Wimbledon effect, i.e. tennis courts are filled to bursting point around the time of the Grand Slam tournament, but a few weeks later they are empty again. What she meant by this was when the going was good and the world was talking about tennis, it was easy to be playing tennis. However, the habit of playing tennis was not so easily caught or maintained. In our research, Vicky and I have called this the honeymoon effect. The key, as we are finding, and as this week's paper suggests, is to work beyond the immediate good times and acknowledge that the idea was sound, that change is needed, but that it takes a lot of time. Change, if it is meaningful and not just superficial, takes bucket loads of time, effort and commitment. As Joey Fyth often says, it needs to find its way into your work plan, like writing this blog. If it's there, it might just survive, prosper even. If it's not, then it's like the seed that fell on stony ground, doomed, even if the seed, or you, don't know it yet. Let's look at the paper in more detail. Wright and Burton approached the issue of underserved youth, i.e. those young people who face numerous threats to their physical and psychological well-being, and their need for a variety of life skills to face and navigate the challenges they encounter on a daily basis. They did this by trying to engage young people in the martial arts, Tai Chi, through the pedagogical model Teaching Personal and Social Responsibility, TPSR. It was felt that the combination of Tai Chi and TPSR would equip young people with the skills and the demeanour they needed to thrive in some fairly adverse conditions. That said, Wright and Burton took a novel approach to their work. Firstly, they implemented TPSR directly in a school's curriculum provision, rather than in the out-of-school or camp settings where the model had been used before. Secondly, they deliberately chose a form of martial arts that was recognisable by its slow, graceful movements, practised as a form of gentle exercise and relaxation. In contrast to other TPSR studies that use recognised sports, such as basketball, to create connections and empathy with the young people, they chose something new and deliberately in keeping with the underlying philosophy of TPSR. They did this deliberately because they didn't want to have to battle the accepted culture of the chosen sport, where trash-talking and physicality were accepted behaviours. Instead, and as the paper shows, they had to overcome different obstacles, the first of which was newness. The authors found that, given time, newness was a blessing and not a curse. That said, it took time and considerable effort to begin to make the breakthroughs needed for Tai Chi and TPSR to be accepted. It took time, but the youth gained an awareness of their difficult circumstances as they began to understand the issues that they faced and the triggers for their poor behaviour and hostility. They began to see the obstacles that they faced and came to value the life skills they were gaining, seeing the potential for applying TPSR lessons to real life. But not before they pushed, and pushed hard, against the changes they were experiencing. The students were used to tough love, so to speak, to loud whistles and loud voices, and TPSR and Tai Chi were seen as weak and boring. The need to work hard and practice was put aside because it was too much effort. This persisted until the latter stages of the program, where the students started to buy in to what was happening and they volunteered to lead aspects of the classes. Wright and Burton reported that this was helped because they used authentic assessment strategies, such as self and peer-administered skills tests. Furthermore, they used a daily responsibility log to shift trust and responsibility to students. By the end of the program, students valued it as a part of their school curriculum, and they had a positive attitude towards the student-centered activities and responsibilities. Fundamentally, TPSR fostered a positive learning environment and induced student behavior. It added structure to the learning of these youth, but not without taking its toll during implementation. Students resisted the newness of the approach. It took creativity and a willingness to experiment on the behalf of the practitioners to make it work. And fundamentally, this was the challenge. Change takes time, compromise and discomfort. It requires us to make mistakes, to fall down, to feel like novices again. It requires us to return to being beginning teachers, but above all, it requires a spit and sawdust, belt and braces approach to change, i.e. to dig deep and carry on. So next time you think change is worth your effort, then, like a good Boy Scout, be prepared for the energy it will take and keep the rewards front and centre, because it might not be easy, but it will be worth it in the end. So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, your lessons and your context? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Thanks for listening, and see you next week for a new adventure for the Pepin podcast. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor, and for the last time Routledge for donating a copy of the Physical Education Major Themes in Education series. Their respective help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this podcast and in getting it out on time in an semblance of coherence. However, it is important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. Note, there are hyperlinks often in the blog that are not noted in the podcast. Please see the blog for the full story. Thank you.